Blog Talk Radio.
Peace, peace, family. What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to Collective Minds Radio. What's up, y'all? This is Mufasa Ra. I'm with lovely Lachey and Brother Kev. What's up, y'all?
Peace. What's happening? What's good, everybody?
Yeah, what's going on, y'all? Good. Good to be back with y'all again on this festive weekend. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
Everybody loving life.
Oh yeah, it's all good. Count down to the end of 17, man. This year went back quick. I don't know about y'all, but man,
yeah, it definitely went back quick. It sure went back quick. I'm mourning the end of football coming up, but yeah, you're right. 2018 is right around the corner, y'all. Dang.
Yep, next week.
Yeah, so hey, if y'all checking us out, next week we're gonna do a recap of 2017 and go down all the shows we did throughout the year. So hopefully y'all can tune in and join us and we can have some laughs and talk about, you know, if we didn't change our mindsets on some things. Y'all can call in and see if we didn't change y'all minds on some things. So we look forward to anybody calling in and getting with us, you know. So love to say, Brother K, what's up? Y'all got some announcements? Y'all got something y'all want to lay out?
Love to say, I'll let you go.
You know what? I don't have any announcements this week either. It's been kind of quiet for me. Now that I can recall, hopefully I'm not. Forgive me, anybody, if I'm forgetting something, but no, I don't think I have any announcements.
Man, I was going to challenge Love to say to give us a quick announcement of this rocket that shot off a couple of days ago. They got everybody
seemingly, or what they are saying is a rocket. You know, I'm doubtful, though. I'm a skeptic. I don't believe that it's a rocket at this very moment.
Yes, Love and Say sent it to me in the middle of the night. I got up, checked it out. If y'all don't know, they supposedly shot off this rocket in California. With a satellite attached to it, so they were sending off in outer space. But in my opinion, they ain't giving nobody enough warning on this stuff, you know, if that's what the case was. You know, the jury's still out on it. But the pictures and images that people were sending in and sharing on YouTube and, you know, throughout social media was amazing, because if you didn't know what you was looking, I mean, you swear it was a UFO, so I'm sure some people still do think it's a UFO. You saw any of the brothers ever heard about some of them?
Yeah, I seen some of the images, and people was talking about it. I think they were saying it was like a SpaceX launch test or something like that that NASA might have been doing, or the military. So, but who knows? Like you say, the jury's still out. Nobody really knows. They keep a lot of stuff hidden. It's probably some new technology they could have, or it could be some alien spacecraft. Who knows? You know, so. It's kind of hard to say, but I did want to make I did have a quick announcement too. I don't know if y'all heard, but one of the lecturers in the community, Dr. Umar, is being having a hearing. I think the first Monday in January. Basically, he had did a video saying that people was coming out talking about him, calling the school, saying he didn't have degrees or he wasn't a doctor, and this and that, and. So now the state of Pennsylvania is bringing him up on just basically a hearing, I guess, to see, you know, what everything's about. You know, they may be asking about the GoFundMe and all those type of things. So I just want to announce that, because that is a brother that I looked at as a powerful voice in the community. You know what I mean? Whether you liked him or didn't like him, my only problem is when we have a problem with each other, why do we have to run to the system or run to white people to solve these issues? You know what I'm saying? Regardless of how you feel about the brother, I just feel like, you know, it could have been worked out amongst us instead of going to the people complaining, going to white mommy and daddy complaining about another brother. You know what I'm saying? So that's just my thing. You know, I hope the brother come through all right and everything is cleared up and you know, things get situated. But, yeah, that's just there's something I wanted to put out there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's interesting. Because I thought when he was on Roland Martin that, you know, they kind of cleared a lot of stuff up. I guess it wasn't good enough, huh?
It wasn't good enough because he was saying people would call the school and they would harass the school and ask him, does he have a degree? And just a lot of craziness going on with people with too much, I guess, time on their hands and too much animosity or whatever. But, you know, it was just too much. But, yeah, I guess the Roland Martin interview didn't clear it up. Or maybe it put him on the radar to where now, you know, people are starting to look at him because he was a powerful voice in our community. So this is just a prime opportunity for others to come in and kind of, you know, regulate or shut down what he's actually talking about, which is, you know, improving black boys in school. He's talking about education, prison, school-to-prison pipeline. He's just talking about a lot of stuff that's beneficial to the community that I think, you know, that we can benefit from as opposed to, you know, because you ain't got to look at people as a leader and these people are perfect and all this stuff. You know what I mean? Don't worship these lecturers, but if they have good information, take the information and apply it so it can help you in your life. You know what I'm saying? But I think a lot of times we get caught up in putting these people on pedestals, and we got to understand that they're human just like us. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody glass of water is a little bit dirty. You know what I'm saying? And this is what we got to realize. But, you know.
Yeah, I think those are valid points, too.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say that I think those are valid points, but the problem is, I think I shared this with Mufasa before, the problem is that he's collecting the public's funds and money, you know. So anytime you're dealing with money and people money that you don't know, you know, people are going to always feel like that they can, you know, they can knock on your door. They have the right to criticize and say anything. They can ask you questions, even if it's just a dollar, you know. So that opened up the door. The minute he started raising money, he opened up that door, you know, because people already are skeptical and life just goes up and down too much for individuals. So just think about it. If last year I gave him $1,000 and then this year I lose my job, what you think I'm going to start thinking about? So you open up that door, you know, because when you're dealing with so many different people, you're dealing with so many different personalities. And everybody, it's hard to get two people to agree. So when you're dealing with multiple people, it's really hard to have everybody that's, although they may give and donate, that don't mean that they are sharing your exact vision. So anything can make them maneuver. It's not their vision, even though they may give as a way of support, because some people are giving differently and for different reasons. Some people are just giving for them, not for necessarily for the cause. And it just automatically creates too much different personalities and stuff. So you're going to be subject to that anytime you're doing a GoFundMe or anytime you're collecting funds and dealing with the public and different people's money and stuff like that. You pretty much can just bank on something like that happening anyway. So if you're not able to produce, you got to be able to at least provide updates. I'm not that familiar with his approach and how he was collecting the money and the things he was promising, but you have to be very careful when you're promising too. You know, communication. From what I've known of him, he seemed like he understands the importance of communication, and he seemed like he possibly may do it well. But it's important that he that he is doing it well when you're dealing with money, because if you're promising these people, oh, yeah, and give me 5 years and I'll have this done, you don't say that. Even if you know it's 5 years, don't tell them 5 years, because things in life happen. You know, just
correct.
You got to be careful with how you communicate with people.
That is definitely true.
But he say facts.
Facts.
This what's up. We're going to hold our brother up. You know, he at the end of the day, we may not agree with everything he do. That's our brother, so we're going to try to hold him up and keep him on our mind, keep him uplifted, and follow the story and see what's going on.
Listen to the prayer warriors.
Yeah, so listen to all the prayer warriors and all the Zulu warriors and, you know, all the Juju warriors, all that good stuff. You know, send some protection to our brother, and, you know, we'll follow the story and see what's going on with that. So, yeah, we was gonna talk today, y'all, about Christmas and Kwanzaa. You know, this is the holiday season. Some may say the so-called holiday season, but you know, this is Christmas Eve to some. Some celebrate it, some don't. Tomorrow's Christmas Day, then following up in the Kwanzaa. So we was really trying to see who celebrates Christmas, who celebrates Kwanzaa. You know, why do you celebrate it? What does it mean to you? What is it all about to you? You know, if you just look up a quick meaning of Christmas, Wikipedia says Christmas is an annual festival commemorating the birth of Jesus Christ, observed most commonly on December 25th as a religious and cultural celebration among billions of people around the world. So I guess using that definition, for you to believe in Christmas, you got to be a believer in Jesus Christ. But there's a lot of atheist people who I'm sure celebrate Christmas too, and they just believe that Christmas is, you know, sharing gifts and spending time with family. I hate to put words in people's mouths, but that's my educated guess on it. But me, myself, I used to celebrate. I grew up in a house that celebrated Christmas, okay? For me, my heart was broken when I was about 6 or 7 years old. My heart was broken by Santa Claus, yeah.
Oh.
You know, it was broken. And from that day forth, I had a distaste and a disdain for Christmas and everything that comes along with it. You know, my family brought me up saying that, as long as I'm good and I'm doing the right thing, it's this man, this big jolly man, is taking lists, putting good children's name on this list, and on Christmas Eve he comes to your house and brings you gifts if you're good. So you know me, I'm trying to be a good child. I'm doing everything I can to bring my gifts, and I would, you know, go to bed early and wake up the next morning, open up my gifts. So one faithful day, y'all, I said, tonight I'm staying up for Santa Claus. I want to see. Who is this guy? I just got to get a glimpse of him. You know, this magical being. This magical man. I just got to put my eyes on him. So I stay up late. You know, I'm trying to stay woke. And I'm just sitting there waiting and listening to every little creak. The house is sighing. And all of a sudden, I heard little footsteps and doors opening our living room. I'm like, oh, man, that's got to be him. That's got to be Santa Claus. I jump up out the bed. When I jump, because I didn't want to startle him, you know what I'm saying? I didn't want to mess up my gifts, to the door. And I poke my head around. And I see the Christmas tree, and I see little shadows. Then all of a sudden, I saw it. My mother and my grandmother putting gifts under the tree. Oh, oh, devastated. It was like my heart was ripped out of my chest, y'all.
Oh man,
and I hated Santa Claus. I hated the thought of Santa Claus ever since I started loving the Grinch. That guy, the Grinch. So that's what happened to me.
Because you found out that was your mother and your grandmother doing it, like, mm-hmm. what, I need a little more information, like, mm-hmm. even then, I can understand the disappointment, okay, man, this is not Santa Claus, okay, mom, and you guys told me a story, you just felt like they lied to you, whatever, what then will still cause you to say, okay, I'd rather start loving the Grinch, like, how did you go from that to that, though, I need you to help me understand.
All these years I'm writing letters and putting cookies and stuff out, and I'm basically putting all my faith in this man bringing me this stuff. You know what I'm saying? And when I found out that it was my mother and my grandmother, first off, like you said, them telling me a lie was like heartbreaking for me as a child. You know, everything I knew was my mother and my grandmother. My father was out in the streets. I love my father too, but my father was a street cat. The women in the house, my mother, my grandmother, the ones that was nurturing me. So when I saw that they had told me a tale, all this stuff and telling me about this, was meant, but true, you know, it just caused me to hate the whole story. And then I would see other kids, you know, I come home, I go to school, and kids talking about Santa Claus did this and Santa Claus brought me that. And I kept having to fight. Do I tell them? Ain't no Santa Claus. You know, or maybe Santa Claus hated me and that's why he didn't come to my house. That's why my mother and my grandmother was putting the gifts out. Maybe this dude really hated me. So since he didn't want to come to my house, F him. That's how I look at it. F Santa Claus. You know what I'm saying? Too good to come to my house, you know. So, and then as I started getting older, you know, and started getting more conscious, so to speak, then it became almost a racial thing where the white dude didn't want to come to my house anyway. You know, he don't love Santa Claus. He sure didn't love me, so F Santa Claus. So that's where I was at with that, you know. But that's the story that's when that turned something for me, y'all. For Christmas.
I was just going to ask you, just to clear something up for me. When you say it made you kind of start, you know, liking the Grinch, that was just jokes.
That was just a joke. Okay. Gotcha. That was just a joke. I did start liking the Grinch when I got older and I still do like the Grinch. I just like the story about the Grinch. You know what I'm saying? I like the song. The song made me like the Grinch. But, yeah, no, that was just a joke that back then I was liking the Grinch. You know what I'm saying? No.
Yeah, I like
the Santa Claus in my world,
you know he's not
eating. Right. Ain't no such thing as no Grinch. But, you know, when I got older and I started, and I had kids, I put up the tree and stuff. Me and my gang, we put up the tree for the kids and stuff. But I told them straight out it wasn't no Santa Claus. You know, you do good, we going to get you something for Christmas. You know, I told them straight up what time it was. We the Santa Claus
indeed.
Around here. Yo, come on.
Indeed.
I don't know, y'all can tell me, Brother Kev, you got a Christmas story. Do you do Christmas, man?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was a good story that you told, and I'm going to just start right where you was at. So when I was little, I never believed in Santa Claus. Like, I don't remember ever a time where I believed in Santa Claus, you know. For one, you know, growing up, we had lived in places, let's say apartments or townhouses, that didn't necessarily have a chimney. So in my little kid brain, I'm like, well, how is Santa Claus going to come down to this chimney? You know, we don't have a chimney. How Santa Claus gonna come down? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was just one thing. I'm like, nah, you know, just never believed in it. And then there was an experience at the preschool we used to go to called Kitty College, and when they had Santa Claus come, it was the principal's husband. And all the kids was wondering, like, that's Miss White husband, that's Miss White husband. I'm like, yeah, that is Miss White husband. Like, it's not, you know. So those kind of experiences kind of just led me to believe that there was no Santa Claus. And I would actually be the kid at school telling other kids that ain't no Santa Claus. You know, I was one of them type mm-hmm. kids, like, nah, there ain't no Santa Claus. Like, what are y'all doing? What are y'all thinking about? You know, so, you know, from that point, it just stuck in my head that, okay, there's no Santa Claus. And as far as celebrating Christmas, we would always get stuff, but there was never a real big emphasis on, okay, it's Christmas, it's Jesus' birthday, this and that. You know what I mean? We would just get some gifts and celebrate, get with the family, break bread, eat, you know, and do things like that. But there was never really a big emphasis. So as we fast forward and I have my own family, you know, I don't partake. I let my wife do it if she wants to do it and decorate and do all that stuff, fine. If not, that's fine too. You know what I'm saying? My kids are still kind of young to understand the concept, but I will explain to them that, no, there is no Santa. And, you know, if you do good throughout the year, yes, you can get some things, but it'll be me and your mom buying these things. Like, and that's a good point that you had brought up, you know, your mom and your grandmother telling you about Santa Claus and how it broke your heart and was devastating. I think that is absolutely correct. And as parents, we don't realize all the time the damage that we do following along with these fairy tales that we're telling our kids. So we work all year to provide, you know, a nice Christmas or holiday for our kids, and then we give credit to a jolly white man. You know, so that doesn't really make sense to me. And on top of that, I'm just not with lying to my kids over something as trivial as that. You know what I mean? Like, it may seem harmless and seem like the cool thing to do or whatever, or, you know, just the cultural thing to do, but I don't think we should be, you know, should be misleading our kids with these particular stories. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's just a quick, you know, quick brief of where my head at as far as when it comes to Christmas. And then, like you say, Mufasa, as I got old and started to do the knowledge and do the research on Christmas, I then discovered that Jesus wasn't even born on December 25th. Like, according to the Bible, if you really look at the scripture, it would have been sometime around after the harvest, sometime around October, November, you know, based on scripture when he was born, you know. So it's just a lot of things that once you do the knowledge and figure it out, you understand that Christmas is really just a big consumer holiday for people to go out and spend money and buy goods and buy material items and do all these type of things. And you know, the real meaning is like to celebrate the winter solstice. Okay, it's like to celebrate the change in the seasons going into winter. So I kind of feel that more like if you want to celebrate the change of the seasons and tap into that energy and, you know, do some rituals on that, I can follow you on that. You know what I'm saying? But as far as the traditional holiday of Western Christian Christmas, I'm just not with it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just not with it. So I just leave it right there for now. Let Love Lachey get in.
What you got for us, Love Lachey? What's your thoughts on Christmas? You got some Christmas stories for us too?
I do have a little bit of one, just a little bit of one, but to kind of piggyback off with both you guys said, I never believed in Santa Claus myself. Although, well, maybe a better way to put it is this. My mom, I was never raised in my home to believe in Santa. I was never taught that it was a Santa. Although, because we come from a large family, and I had a lot of older cousins, because my mom is like the eighth child out of 10, so we had a lot of older cousins. So I do recall some of my older cousins trying to convince me and telling me that there was a Santa Claus. And they almost did it, you know, but I was still, it was still, I still never felt like, yes. When they would tell me, I felt, I was feeling like, are you sure? You know, I never came to a point in my mind or my spirit like, yes, Santa is real. So I was never raised that way. It didn't make sense to me either that we would have a Santa Claus. It's like it just never made any sense to me. And so even when I would be around kids that did celebrate and believe that, I was still never influenced or affected by the fact that they were so excited about Santa Claus. I just always knew that it wasn't one. But as far as the story goes, my cousins, my older cousins, they were telling me that it was a Santa Claus, although they knew it wasn't. They were just older, being, you know, big cousins and silly and stuff, trying to make me believe something. I remember, I think it was Christmas Eve or whatever it may have been. It was something like flying. It had to have been an airplane, I believe. And they was like, look. But I remember looking to see. Because they were saying, I was like, wait a minute. So I did look and see, that's about the only type of story that I have, you know. And now that I am an adult with my own kids and family, I never raised my kids to believe in Santa Claus. I just told them that it was just, it's a story. You know, when it came time for them to ask, it was just a story just like any other thing. They experienced stories. You know, so that's just, I just always explain it as, it's just the story. That's just what people say, but it's not real. You know, Santa Claus isn't real. And it wasn't, I didn't have a big issue with that with my kids because, you know, I never raised them to believe that it was. And I agree with Brother Kevin. I'm not one to, you know, think you should lie to your kids either. So that would be a lie some because I do try to practice, you know, that to my kids. They knew to believe me when I said that it wasn't, you know. And I just told them that some people do think that and some people do raise their kids that it is that. So when they do hear people say it, they know they already have an understanding. Now, okay, someone just told them that, but it's not really true, you know. So I never had any big issues with it. We never celebrated it. The most I do, as far as the Christmas tradition goes, I do try to get them a little gift or something because although they know Santa Claus is not real, unfortunately, the human ego still want a present, you know. So I do satisfy that as a parent to a degree.
Right.
You know, I don't decorate. I don't go out and get the trees and all this stuff. I'm just not into all of that. But they know that I'm getting it. So I may surprise them sometimes with a gift, but they still know that it's coming from me. So like I said, I just maybe, just kind of feed their ego when it comes to a gift. But mainly, with Thanksgiving, I mainly look forward to just getting the opportunity to spend time with family and eat. You know, eat good food and just chill out. That's really it. I'm not celebrating it. I do realize, too, though, that it's a great portion, a large percentage of non-Christians that celebrate Christmas. You know,
I think
one of you guys mentioned that before. You know, it's a large percentage of non-Christians that celebrate Christmas, the atheists and the agnostics, all those. You know, it's actually a large number. I want to say about 80%, you know, U.S. communities that celebrate Christmas, and they're not even Christian, you know. So that makes me believe that a lot of people not doing it all just because of religious purposes. They just do it just for the other benefits. They just do it for the other benefits, just like I was saying with kids. They're human egos want gifts and presents, want to be off, I think a lot of times it's just driven. They just get caught up into the cultural celebration of it. And although it's a manipulation tool that they really using us to you know, spend money, you know, and back into these big corporations and businesses, though, that's really a tool for that. People still get caught up in it because, like, I still want this, I want that. They want to give, you know, give people things, and they want people to give them things. So people a lot of times get caught up in the benefit of it, not so much of what it's supposed to be about. You know,
now let me throw another twist in there. Let me throw another twist in there for y'all. Have y'all heard anything about, like, how Christmas is demonic? That Santa Claus is really a representation of the devil.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, I haven't heard that, but I've heard Christmas be described as a pagan holiday. I've heard that, but yeah, elaborate on the Santa Claus being the devil.
And I ain't did my research on it in a while, but that's one of the rumors that I did hear. So I need to dig it back up myself. I was hoping my brother was gonna call in and break it down for me. I know a lot more about it than I do. But yeah, that was something that I heard, that Santa Claus was really representative of the devil. And some other things I heard was, like, back in the day when Christmas was being founded, they would use black people as Christmas trees. That was the other thing another evil rumor I heard, that they was burning slaves around this time too. You heard that too?
I've heard that, where they would use, like, slave parts as Christmas ornaments and stuff like that. You know, so yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard that. You know, just like they did with remember Nat Turner? They used his skin for, like, lampshades and all other type of stuff. You know what I mean? So that's been a long history of people using African body parts for ornaments and art and lampshades and, you know, coats or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I've definitely heard that.
I'm just always big on, before I straight up say I'm a really celebrate something and, you know, go all in. You know, I always tell people, shoot, do your research on stuff. I just hate to be celebrating something blindly. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
A lot of people do that. A lot of people be doing that. It just be aggravating me, like, they just will dive head first into something and they don't really be knowing what it's all about. You know, I know we ain't like that. Like, we, you know, us three, we don't really celebrate it, but some people be all in. You know, they put the tree up, they put all the decorations up, and they Merry Christmas in and doing all this stuff, and they don't even really do their research on this stuff before they do it. You know what I mean?
Right. I definitely feel you. Like, that's definitely important, because, you know, like you say, you could be selling something, you could be celebrating something demonic and not even knowing it. And the people who putting you up to it, they could just be masking it and, oh, it's Jesus' birthday and this is the holy days and all this and that, but you don't really know exactly what you're celebrating. Like, these traditions they've come from somewhere. You know what I mean? Somebody invented the whole tradition. Somebody invented Santa Claus. Like, where does Santa Claus come from? You know, you got to do your research on that. I think that's, like, from, like, the Dutch or Netherlands or something. You know what I'm saying? Just the concept of Santa Claus. So you got to really, at least for me, you know, I like to do my research on things, like Mufasa said, just so I have a better understanding. And then, you know, if it is what it is, then, yeah, I wouldn't have a problem saying I celebrate it. You know, but for me, like I said, since I'm not a Christian and I don't believe in Jesus, it's like, why would I celebrate Christmas? You know what I'm saying? Like, again, I understand it's the winter solstice and, you know, changing of the seasons and, you know, the sun, you know, moving below the horizon and all type of astrological things. I do understand those things, and I do understand that this is a powerful time of year, You know, no matter how you look at it, it is like the holidays are set up on these different events that happen as far as, you know, changing the seasons and going from winter solstice to equinox and all these different type of things. So I do understand that it is a powerful time of the year. However, just to say that, you know, I'm just celebrating Christmas, I just can't do that because, again, I'm not a Christian and I don't believe in Jesus. So
yeah, it could have been a religious person that started the whole Santa Claus being a devil thing too, because if you trip off this, like, do y'all know you could just switch the letters around a little bit and Santa becomes Satan?
Yeah.
You trip off that letter,
yeah,
Jay?
Yeah, they say Santa means Satan.
You know, that's wild how something, you just one little twist. So, I don't know, it could be something to that. I'm not dig off into that myself, do some more studying.
Everything is everything. Yeah, could be something to that, for real. Yeah.
Well, no, the other thing, I want to slip Kwanzaa in here, too, because we got Kwanzaa that's coming up also. That's coming right after Christmas. We go straight in from Christmas Eve to we go straight from Christmas Eve to Christmas. And then a lot of people don't know about Kwanzaa, which starts up on December 26th. Brother KLO say, y'all heard of it, but you're not too familiar with Kwanzaa. I'm going to give y'all a quick breakdown of it, and y'all tell me what y'all think. Kwanzaa is a week-long celebration held in the United States and in other nations of the African diaspora in the Americas. The celebration honors African heritage and African-American culture and is observed December 26th. January 1st, culminating in a feast and gift giving. Kwanzaa has seven core principles, which is the Nguzu Saba. It was created by a man named Maluana Karinga and was first celebrated in 1966 and 1967. So Kwanzaa is something that I do partake in myself. I first heard about Kwanzaa in the 90s when I was in high school. I had a black history teacher that by the name of Leon Henderson. They used to teach us the Nguzu Saba. And the Nguzu Saba is like seven principles to live your life by. These principles are Umoja, which means unity, Kujichagulia, which means self-determination, Ujima, which is collective responsibility, you got Ujima, which is cooperative economics, it means purpose, then you have Kuumba, which means creativity, and Imani means set up to where these seven principles are principles that everybody should want to incorporate into their family, into just, you know, your life to make us a better people. So Kwanzaa is something, like I say, I've been aware of since high school, and I really trying to implement it more in my household over the past 3 or 4 years. Because, like I said, compared to Christmas, it's more family oriented, where I don't hear the other mess that come along with, you know, Santa being Satan, and if you got to believe in, you know, if it's for people who believe in Jesus, or we just want a gift, so it's commercialized, you know. So I like the thought of Kwanzaa because it has principles and all the principles that you should live, and family oriented principles, you know. So, what have y'all? Anything y'all know about Kwanzaa?
Your phone kind of went out, Mufasa. Let's take a caller while you see what's going on with your line. And let's take a caller 314-319. Caller, are you there? Caller 314-319.
Peace, caller. You there? You just listening? They probably just listening.
Okay.
Okay.
All right,
but,
can you hear
me? Yeah. Yeah, we can hear you. Yep, yep. So yeah, it's as far as Kwanzaa, it sounds like a good concept, and I've heard bits and pieces about it. But it does sound like a good concept. It sounds like it's non-religious and, like you say, non-commercial for the most part. So, yeah, I would definitely look into it. I would like to do some research on the brother that started. Did you have his name, Mufasa? I might have missed it. Did you say the brother's name that started?
His name is Maluana Karinga. His first name.
Karinga. Gotcha.
Yeah. Maluana. Last name Karinga. Karenga. Now, I will say this. Now, even when you look up Karinga, he can have his like any other man. They say he had, you know, had gotten in trouble with the law before for some things. But this is what I say. I'm more so judge a person. Or, you know, you really where they laying out, I found that sounds like with Elijah. Elijah has issues, you know, but you can't deny that his program official for black people. Same as with Karinga. You know, he may have some issues, but what he was trying to establish with Kwanzaa and those seven principles is beneficial for families, you know, especially African American or black families, you know, because we need something that can help lift us up, you know.
Facts.
So I do say that, I always do your research on the person, but I was just giving you a heads up that I'm sure you're going to find some things that's going to be like, oh, this dude is this or this dude is that. But at the same time, you know, look at the program that the man put out.
Right,
you know,
right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's the point I was trying to make earlier when I brought up Dr. Umar, is because, you know, everybody on this planet or plane is a human. And just by, you know, the definition of being a human, you go make mistakes and you may do some things that need to be checked or corrected. That's just part of, you know, being a human. So, like you say, we should just take what he's given and, you know, we ain't really got to take the whole messenger. We just got to take the message and what's been laid out. So, yeah. And I was just saying that I would like to know who it was just to see how, you know, how he went about coming up with the concept. You know what I mean? Like, what was the steps and did he get it from, like, West African tradition or some type of African tradition, or how everything, you know, came into fruition as far as Kwanzaa. And, you know, I mean, you say 7 days.
Well, I give, yes, yeah, yes, yeah, 7 days from
December
26th to January the 1st. Now, just a quick brief look up of how he created it. It said he created Kwanzaa in 1966 as the first specifically African-American holiday. According to Karinga, the name Kwanzaa derives from the Swahili phrase Matunda ya Kwanzaa, meaning first fruit of the harvest. Although a more conventional translation would simply be first fruits. The choice of Swahili and East African language reflects its status as a symbol of Pan-Africanism, especially in the 1960s. Although most of the Atlantic slave trade that brought African people to America originated in West Africa. Kwanzaa is a celebration that has its roots in the black nationalist movement of the 60s and was established as a means to help African Americans reconnect with their African culture and historical heritage by uniting in meditation and study of African traditions and Nguzu Saba, the seven principles of African heritage.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Indeed. And when was it created? In the 60s, 70s?
Yeah. Between 66 and 67. You know, 60, during that time, you know.
Yeah, Black Power
movement. We really was out there on the battlefield.
Oh, yes, sir. It was strong. The movement was strong.
Yeah.
So, yeah, indeed. I mean, I liked it. You know, I would have to definitely do my research as far as implement it with my family, but I do love the concept that because that's my thing. If you can create, especially Africans, you know, in America, if we can create our own holy days or spiritual days amongst ourselves, I think that would benefit us more, because right now we're just, you know, just to keep it real, we just a conquered people and we're celebrating these holidays of our conquerors. That's just what it
That's
is.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no other way around it. So, with that being said, that takes away some of our power, because we're not able to exercise, you know, our traditions, our culture, put things, you know, put things out there that matter to us. Instead, we got to follow Western culture. We got to follow commercialism, consumerism. We got to follow all these other principles that may not necessarily be beneficial to our community. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm all about us creating our own spiritual days around these, you know, around these different celestial events and different changes of seasons that most of the holidays are on. If we can create our own type of thing like Kwanzaa and get a lot of people on board, I think that'll have a tremendous effect on our culture and, you know, on us as a whole, for real. So,
I'll say this.
I definitely dig
Love Lachey, you tell me what you think about this. Like, touching on what Brother Kim just said, to me, when people do stuff like that, when they create their own, you know, holidays or celebrations and stuff, to me, other races of people, other groups of people look at that and can respect that. It's like, we can celebrate, you know, all the other European holidays, we can join in. So I don't see what's wrong with them respecting our stuff. So to me, it's like that shows that you can do something on your own and other nationalities and people, they can't do nothing but respect it, that you have, you know, the tenacity to get out there and create something for, of your own. You know what I'm saying?
Fact.
Yeah, I understand that, but I think what we have to do, I think, unfortunately, I hate to go here, but I think what we would need to do is still figure out a way for us to come together. We don't ever unite enough, which is, so I think, yeah, if we come together and unite and say, yeah, we're going to do this, this is going to be for us, yeah, I think we can eventually gain that type of respect, like you're saying, along with a lot of other things that we gain from being united. But I think since we don't, unfortunately, we lack that, you know. But I'm always for anything that's going to benefit, you know, anybody and take anybody in a positive direction. I've always been the one, even from a kid, that felt like should just take the good out of good, out of what's good, you know. Just take the you don't have to. You know, be so critical over, just trying to just take the good out of it. And I remember fully coming to this understanding when I started kind of associating and community, having conversations with Jehovah's Witnesses. I've never been a Jehovah's Witness, but when I began to conversate and actually be around and talk and communicate with a diehard Jehovah's Witness, and that's when I learned, it's like, hey, I don't have to be a Jehovah's Witness, but if I can learn something from them, that's a good thing.
Right.
If it's going to make me a better person. So I have, even with the Kwanzaa, you know, or with Christmas, or with anything, I don't have to be this, but if I can learn from it. And that's what I try to do. I try to learn from things and take it, and it can help me, hopefully. You know, I try to take the good out of it that can help me be able to be a better person, so that way I can be a better person that can help the people that I'm around and help my community and help my kids and my family. You know, the better I am, I can give out. You know, so if I can, with things that we, the things that Kwanzaa wants to instill, the unity and all those things, that's great, absolutely. I don't have,
yeah.
I would never go against, you know, positivity. You know, so.
No, I was just saying that's why I like Kwanzaa so much. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it is a lot of good things about it that you know that I think we should all try to implement. I don't care who you are and what you stand for. I think there's nothing wrong with you know trying to be a better person. And I think with the things that you learn from Kwanzaa, I think it just helps people as even individuals. You know.
Right.
Have anyone of y'all had the opportunity to go to a Kwanzaa celebration?
I have. I've actually been to, I wouldn't say a few. I've been to a couple. One was at the History Museum. They had a Kwanzaa celebration at the Art Museum. I went to a couple of years ago. Which was decent. They had some dancing and you know, they talked about the principles and everything. So that was pretty good. And then I think I went to another one. I wanna say at the old Better Family Life, I believe. It's been a while ago. But I've been to a couple celebrations and you know, each time I've enjoyed it I've learned something. So, yeah, I have.
Well, just so
and
I'm going to throw it out.
Real fun. So if we have any callers on there that's on hold and you would like to say something that we have not gotten to you, if it's okay if you want to hang up and call back that way that you want to say something, that's if in the event that we have any callers that's on hold and they actually do want to say something we haven't gotten to you yet, to make us aware, just hang up and call back if you are able to.
Yeah, let's say, did you say that you had a chance to go to any yet? Have you been to any Kwanzaa celebrations before?
No, I haven't.
Well, I got one coming up on the 30th, next Saturday. So
okay.
I think collective minds need to be in the building.
Indeed. Where is
it? We need to take our kids. Take the hubbies, take the spouses, you know, take the families. We need to go check it out, y'all. It's going to be December 30th at the Bellefonte Rec Center. It's the second annual. It'll be their second annual Kwanzaa celebration. So I'm definitely going to go check it out. So, yeah.
Do you
have
to be a resident of Bellefonte? Do you have to be a resident of Bellefonte?
Not to come, no. It's for anybody.
Okay, cool, yeah. And I think they had some, I don't know, about last week. Well, I guess that probably would have been too early, but I was hearing something about something, a Kwanzaa event that was going on last week or maybe this weekend. But
yeah, it did go on at Better Family Life You know, it's just something that we have to Google up or check out or look around because it's little small events that go on throughout the city. You know, some people do their own private thing. A friend of mine, she's having one at her house that she invited me to, so I'm looking forward to that also. I think she's having it, maybe tomorrow. But, you know, a lot of people have their own little Kwanzaa celebrations at their house. Different things about the city. So it's just something we gotta look and dig into, you know, because it ain't that big, it ain't really mainstream. And it's a surprise since it's been around since, you know, it was started in the 60s. But a lot of black people just don't gravitate to it. You know, I've heard some black people say, I don't do that African stuff, which is always shocking to me when they say that.
Right.
Don't do that African stuff. That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah. But I mean, look, this is the reality. We got to keep in mind that, you know, we're people that's struggling to find an identity and a culture due to those things being stripped from us. You know what I'm saying? So what's happening today is just a lot of us is just giving up, and we've just accepted Western culture and Western, you know, ideas as our own, you know, even though that's not the case. You know, where we come from, we do know that traditional African ideas and cultures is way different than Western culture. You know what I'm saying? So now we just at a point where, you know, we just accepting whatever the dominant or main society gives us. You know, and there's nothing wrong. Like, to me, there's nothing wrong with celebrating stuff from other cultures, but your culture needs to be intact first.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Like, if we had our stuff established and our culture set, and we set the parameters and, you know, stuff for our own particular culture, then it wouldn't be a problem to dib and dab, because you're just learning, you know, you're just learning other cultures, experiencing that. But the problem is, we don't have an identity or a culture that we can stand on. You know, we're standing on somebody else's culture, and that's where the problem leads to, because we don't have our own particular culture to stand on. So that's why people say, I don't deal with that African stuff, I don't do that, even though that is their traditional culture if you're, you know, black in America, for the most part. So, you know, that's the dilemma. If we had our culture in place, you know, we could celebrate and deal with other cultures. And, you know, because a lot of people from, like, Asia and, you know, Japanese or other countries, they come over to America and they celebrate Christmas. You know what I mean? They be all into it, you know, but that's because they have their culture in place, and they just look at it as, okay, we just, you know, we in America, so we all just do what the Americans do, even though they still have their traditional stuff that they deal with. We don't have any traditional stuff that we deal with. Our traditional stuff is stuff that, you know, the European gave to us, the slave masters gave to us. So, you know, that's the dilemma that we caught up in, man. We got to reestablish our own culture.
Our show was going to ask you that, Brother Kev, like, being black in America. You know, we had our show about nationality and all.
Right.
You know, a couple months ago, but I was gonna ask you, being black in America, would you say that you know, you're an American, and so you should be taking on or celebrating the American holidays like Christmas? You know what I'm saying?
Right. What I would say is there's two Americas. You know what I'm saying? There's two Americas. There's a black American, there's a white American. I was born in America, yes. Yes, this is my home. I feel like, you know, America is my place. I feel like my ancestors built this place up, and we have a right to this land just as anybody else. However, when it comes to an American citizen, do I feel like an American citizen? Not really, you know what I'm saying? I don't really feel like, you know, black life or black, you know, black ingenuity or black people are respected as American citizens in my eyes, you know what I'm saying? Even though I participate in the culture, you know what I'm saying? I like pop culture just as much as anybody else. I grew up on, you know, The Cosby Show, TV, you know, Leave It to Beaver, all these different type of shows that are part of the American experience. So I can't take that away from me. However, I don't feel like this government respects, you know, melanated people as full citizens. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's a good question. It's really kind of up in air, but that's a great question, though, you know.
And see, to me, that shows the importance of Kwanzaa. Because that's something that, like we said earlier, something that we need to help us establish our own identity, give us something to have some pride in.
Facts. Yep. Indeed.
So I would love to see more Black people get involved with Kwanzaa.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Indeed.
And not be scared. I think that's something else. I think some people are scared to get involved. They probably feel like them getting involved with Kwanzaa, it makes them racist.
Right.
Some people don't get involved with it because, you know, especially youth, when they hear about, it ain't all about giving gifts, they don't want to get involved in that because, you know, our kids ain't got commercialized. If it ain't about a gift, it don't mean nothing to them, you know.
Yeah, right. That is true.
It's not big on morals and values no more.
Right, exactly. And speaking of gifts, when it comes to the kids, I just want to put this out there. For anyone, you know, that may have little kids or young ones, one of the things that we do is we think, like, before the age of 7, you should try to limit as much TV as possible, right? Because you got to think, when those kids are watching TVs all year long and these cartoons and stuff, what they show in the middle of the cartoons? Commercials. They show all these commercials, games, blah, 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 this and that. So by the time Christmas roll around, your kids are wanting all these things that they've seen on TV. You know what I'm saying? So, like I say, my trick is, in my house, we don't have cable. The only thing we have is Netflix and a Fire Stick. That way we can kind of control it. And with each one of those devices, you don't get commercials, you know. Mm-hmm. So that just eliminates a small, you know, part of your headache when Christmas time come around and all these Christmas commercials and toys coming on of your kids wanting these things. So if you can limit, you know, your kids' TV, especially, you know, from 0 to 7 years old, I think that'll help you out because, like I say, the commercials that they run are hypnotizing, and it's only natural for a kid to want those things when they see them constantly back-to-back on these commercials. You know what I'm saying? So that's one of the tricks that we use in our household is to limit their TV at a young age and, you know, just keep them away from all the commercials and consumerism and, you know, materialism and all that type stuff.
I think that's a good practice, period. But because for me personally, I also think, too, to add to that, for me, like in our household, I don't glorify the celebration of Christmas. So it's not like my kids would always come to me and say, hey, yes, it's Christmas time. Now, they did learn about it from not so much TV, though, but just from outside, you know, outside the home.
Right.
You know, so that was my issue, outside the home. So that's why at home, I have to make sure that I structure things a certain way because at school, you know, unfortunately, outside the home, you have to go to school. That's when my kids picked up the majority of their knowledge and things about Christmas because it's in the school.
Right.
You know?
Right,
but
that is true.
I never glorified the celebration of Christmas within my home. So it wasn't a thing for them to, you know, I didn't do the trees and things, so they wasn't seeing me buying trees, decorating and singing Christmas carols and making cookies and popping up
leaving
gifts.
Milky
and
cookies
today,
out for Santa.
They didn't see that. So it was, I think when they began to learn, they just knew that people would get things for Christmas and things like that. So it was just certain things that they would pick up mainly outside the home, more so than TV. My oldest daughter, I had a very good start with her where she didn't watch TV. Now, my youngest daughter, my lifestyle was a little bit different, so she did get a little bit more TV at a younger age than I would have really preferred. But my oldest daughter, it was actually kind of perfect the way that I was kind of able to be a little more ideal about how I wanted things structured. So she didn't have the TV. And then, well, we had a TV, but it wasn't television programs. I had programs from the video, you know, tapes and things like that that I would
right.
control or watch and things like that. I would dictate. So she did miss out on commercials and all those types of things too. But I think for me, well, from my experience, the biggest thing was from the things that they learned outside of the household that I had to kind of, you know, figure out a way to, you know, I guess, balance it.
Right, indeed, indeed. And here go another dynamic of celebrating too, you know, just from a black perspective, and this may be, you know, people may disagree with this and it may be seem extreme to some people, but as far as black people and our economic status and our position in America, what do we have to celebrate? You know what I'm saying? Like, we have, yes, we have individual accomplishments that people do every day that, you know, I guess would require some type of celebration. But as a group, what are we celebrating? You know what I mean? Like, what, like we're the first people, we big on Christmas, we're big on the 4th of July and spending money and doing all these things. But what are we celebrating? You know what I mean? We have to really take a look at our overall position and get our house in order, get some things straight in our communities and in our neighborhoods. Then once we establish that, we can celebrate later. But I think as a people, we do have a lot of work to do as far as our particular community, as far as economics, getting our business and finances and just things in general that we have to do. You know, to repair our community. I mean, let's be real. We got a lot of healing and a lot of work to do, and these holidays come around every year, and we're the first ones to participate and spend our money to participate in these holidays, and it just puts us further and further back to where we need to be going. You know, that's just, again, that's just my particular opinion. You know, it may be controversial, but we really have to take a look at what are we celebrating as a group. Yes, individually, yes, we do a lot of things individually. You know what I mean? We do a lot of things individually that are great. But we're talking about as a group of people living in this hemisphere, what are we really celebrating? You know, that's just a question we got to ask, you know. So I just wanted to put that out there.
We can celebrate. We can celebrate that we got shows like Empire.
Exactly. We can celebrate life.
Good. But that's all good and well. However, if your life is not respected to the utmost as somebody else's life, and we see this every day through the court systems, through, you know, any type of other institution in this country, like what?
And do how we like treat each other.
And exactly, and how we treat each other. Like, we don't even respect each other's lives.
But life, I'm saying the fact that we have or still have life, we still have the ability to make change. Once that life is gone, we don't have change.
That's a fact.
We do have issues. Life don't take away the issues, but life allows us the opportunity to at some point be able to recognize and make a change if we so want to do that.
Right, that is true. That is definitely true. But if we look at the amount of money that we spend during Christmas, and I think it's kind of tapered off in the last few years because you've been hearing, like, you know, a lot of people saying they get boycotting the holiday season and Black Friday. So I think we are starting to get it. And we're starting to be a little more wiser and not, you know, breaking the bank or going broke on Christmas for our kids, because we understand, and I think we're finally starting to understand the big picture. And if you look at the last 2 years as far as Christmas spending and holiday spending, things have been down. And I really believe that that's a large part due to how Black people have been waking up, you know, due to the last few years of police brutality and things that just been going on in society. We're finally starting to figure out that the power is in our dollar. You know what I'm saying? We don't have no big military. We don't got no big bases and all this other type of stuff. But we do have a spending dollar, and if we just, you know, can orchestrate it towards the right places, we can, you know, make some changes that that we need to make, you know. So that's where it's at, though, man. We really need to evaluate, you know, what are we doing? What are we celebrating these holidays for, you know? And I'm all about celebrating life when we should celebrate life every day. But, you know, yeah, we should celebrate life every day. But, we, you know, when these holidays come around, we got to ask, like, what really are we celebrating?
Mm-hmm. You know, so, yeah, why are we celebrating Christmas?
Yeah, why are we celebrating?
You know, just people, just us as a whole. You know what I'm saying?
It is us as a whole, exactly. Yeah, yeah. What are we doing? You know, like during the holidays, are we still, like, is black-on-black crime still going down? Are we still robbing each other? Are we still in the hood? You know, crabs in a bucket. Like, what are some of the things that go on around these times? Because we do know around the holiday time, crime picks up. People start stealing, scheming. You know, all different type of things come along with these holidays. You know, and not to focus on the bad, but these things do happen, and it affects, you know, it affects our community.
Right.
You know,
and that's all. Reason why, you know, and when you look at it, when you look at a seller, because I won't say holiday, when you look at a celebration like Kwanzaa, it's not materialistic.
Right.
So you don't, exactly. So you don't have a lot of cats who, you know, out trying to prey on the people when it comes to something like that. For the most part, it's family oriented. You know, it's a lot of storytelling involved. We may exchange gifts made with each other. A lot of dancing,
right.
And a lot of, you know, eating and stuff like that, you know. But it ain't about buying TVs and buying cell phones, buying,
exactly.
You know, a lot of items and exchanging, you know, it ain't about all that. So that could be one reason why people don't get preyed upon around the Christmas time. I remember, you know, when I was doing Christmas for my kids, you know, some of this stuff I would buy, and, you know, they'd be cool with it for a day or two. But after that, shoot, they ain't even tripping off that stuff no more. You know,
exactly.
So I get to the point, like, I don't want out here and bought my gas and my kids, all this different stuff. It was times where I would buy, you know, try to get everybody something for Christmas. I'm out here breaking myself, you know, trying to get mama something, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
And next thing you know, I done blew all that, or they, and threw off a bill or something for just people to say, you know, to have a smile or two for a day or so, and then it's forgotten about. You know, whereas I'm looking at it like, I'd rather do something that we spend just quality time together and enjoy that. Try to, you know, teach each other something.
Yeah, indeed. Or you could invest in something, you know, that'll mature. But, yeah, people do that all the time, man. Spend on these holidays.
Is you thinking about the Bitcoin? Was you thinking about some holiday Bitcoin?
I was going to say, that would be a good investment to buy your kids some Bitcoins or some cryptocurrency and let it sit for a year or two, you know. But, you know, that's just one thing. But, yeah, people, we go broke trying to buy gifts for these holidays. And the materialism is really killing us, but see, the materialism coming from us stems back to slavery and us being stripped from our humanity, okay? Because when we, you know, we were, our humanity was stripped from us, period, point blank. We were cattle. We were livestock. We was traded on the stock market. We were property of people. So our humanity was gone. So now that we're free, we use material items, big TVs, cars, clothes, jewelry. We use these things to say that we're worth something, you know, that we're human, that we're, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's like a kind of like an insecurity that we have as a group, to where we use material items and shiny things to mask our insecurities because we've been stripped of our humanity. And so we try to get it back by getting things that other people have to make it look like, hey, I'm just like you. I can afford this. I can do this, do that. And that's that's damaging, you know, to us as a group, because we're not using our economics in the right way. We're not trying to build, you know, the next Black Wall Street. We too busy trying to spend money to just show, you know, impress people that we don't like. You know what I mean? Like, so we really got to evaluate, you know, why we do the things that we do and why we spend the, you know, our funds in the way that we do. You know, when it comes to these holidays.
So that's what's on my mind. I meant to bring this up earlier, but I, you know, y'all heard about the three young ladies that were killed a couple of days ago. And they shooters.
I heard about that.
Yeah, it was a home invasion down in the city on John, for West Florida.
Wow.
And it was three something in the morning. It was a home invasion, and three young ladies, all in their 20s, early 20s. Apparently, they was trying to get away or avoid the situation, and they got out. They made it to the car, but then the car got sprayed with bullets, riddled with bullets, so killed all three of them in the car. It was a man that was involved, but he got away.
Wow.
You know, so.
Wow.
That's
what I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, man, that was on my heart to say something about early, that, you know, thinking about those their families around this time of the year.
I know, man. That's
they
crazy.
They didn't lost their young. And then just adding that to the number of people that have been murdered in the city. You know, I think
right.
we over 200. We definitely over 200 now, and then got got the title of most dangerous city again. And you know, it's terrible that in the city, you know, predominantly Black. You know, that a lot of us are preying on each other when we're trying to fight against this system, when we're trying to fight against crooked police, that we still preying on each other. You know what I'm saying? And we got to work on this. You know what I'm saying? Sooner or later. You know, well, I won't even comment on that right now, but, you know, yeah, just thinking about them ladies and their families and what they could be going through around the time here is really sad.
Yeah,
something like
that. Yeah, putting out a young man, he was the fourth person that was in the house, and I think they say he ran out the back. It was two guys that actually invaded the house, and the three young ladies ran out and got in the car, like you said, and they just raised the car up.
Wow. Yes, I didn't know about that. That's crazy. Yeah, this is a difficult time. You know.
201, right? I believe those three.
I think it's more than definitely two something.
Yeah, like you say, it's a lot of stuff. And then how many of those were police killings? And, well, I guess it don't matter. Killing is killing, because if somebody dead, however they died, it's going to be a horrible thing, you know, to the family members, you know.
Right, right. But especially a murder, though. Like, I mean, you're talking about murder and killing people. Like, those are things that could be avoided and, you know. Yeah, that's just crazy. Like, we really have to do better. And who are these guys that are, you know, I don't know. I just really be hard
that's
to be understand.
I hate to keep pumping Kwanzaa so much like I'm doing, but I'm just imagining that if we all embrace Kwanzaa to the fullest, right? It's just me imagining and wishing that everybody in the Black community or Black people across the world, you know, I'm excluded even past Black people. But if we all embraced the principles of Kwanzaa and what they really stand for, how it could change the world, how it could change not just our communities, but change out of our communities and the world abroad. Because those principles are solid family principles that we can all apply to life and live better by. It's all about living a more better quality life. So You know, I wish we could all just embrace that more. Maybe some of these senseless killings would die down. People wouldn't be doing stuff like that. Because that was just ridiculous, man. And not even value young lady in anybody's life, but you mowing down young ladies' lives. You know what I'm saying?
Young ladies like that.
It used to be a day where women and children didn't get it. Now, you know, anybody.
Exactly. I was just about to say that exact same thing. Exactly. Women, elderly, and kids was off limits. Like, it's just no rules no more. You know, it's just
no rules. We have
no
lost
rules,
our morals.
No morals, no codes.
No codes.
And it's sad. It's, you know, it's really sad, bro. It's really sad.
Yep. No codes, no morals, no values. And what can we do to get that back?
And but I agree with you, Mufasa. I think Kwanzaa is a great start, even though it comes around once a year. Those principles you can live with through the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something to, you know, to reinforce. Like, it comes around every year. So every year, you know, these certain principles.
Right, that's a reminder.
Yeah, that's a reminder, exactly. So throughout the year, yeah. So you can bet that if a family was raised and they celebrated Kwanzaa, you know, that those kids, once they grow up to be teenagers, they're not going to be involved in no particular kill. You know what I'm saying? They wouldn't be involved in nothing extreme. Kids going to be kids, but if you instill those type of principles and, you know, African love and unity, black empowerment, those type of things, you can bet that these kids are not going to be involved in shootings and drugs, you know, just all type of silly stuff, because they'll have that foundation. You know what I mean?
Materialistic, willing to rob and kill you for your goods just because they want them.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
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 But Santa Claus didn't come to bring them nothing, so they won't take from somebody else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
They grew up in a household where they didn't get stuff. They didn't get Christmas presents. They grew up heartless. And just we could decide they want to take from people. See, all this stuff be tying in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah. We coming close, y'all, to the end of the broadcast. And I want to thank y'all for listening. Thank everybody for checking us out. Remind you that, you know, we every Sunday, you can check us out at Collective Minds Radio. Every Sunday, we hear 6 to 7:30. Tune in, call in, you know, spread love, share with your brothers and sisters, because we're here for you. Not just us, we're here for you too. You know?
Facts, you kind of breaking up a little bit, Mufasa.
You know, I'm just saying that we're here not just for us, we're here for the community as well. So we want to deal with you. Interfering with us. You know, we got a platform for you to call in and express yourself to. We would love you to call in anytime with us and express yourself.
You kind of breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, I know I'm in this bad location. Y'all got anything y'all want to chime in? Oh, y'all got some final words before we get out of here?
Yeah, you want to go, Love Lachey? I'll go after you.
Okay, I just wanted to just thank everybody for calling in, you know, and supporting us. We are coming up on our year anniversary, and so this has been a very, very interesting year. It's something that we're learning, and I'm glad that we are continuing and dedicated to stick with this, and I'm just excited to see what is going to happen in this next upcoming year. So just continue to support us and listen in. And if you have any recommendations or topics, you can always find us on Facebook at Collective Minds Radio and make a comment and give us any recommendations or any show topics that you may want to hear us discuss. And we can do that. So remember that as well. And tune in on Sundays, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Indeed. And just to add to that, thank the callers. We appreciate y'all and the support. This is Brother Kev. And, you know, I just want to say to everybody, you know, these are just our opinions. If you do celebrate Christmas, do your thing. Enjoy the time with your family. You know what I mean? Tell them you love them. Just enjoy the time and experience that you have with the people that you love through this season and every day. You know, don't take anything for granted. So, you know, I just want to say salute to everybody. Salute to the listeners. And this is Collective Minds Radio. This is Brother Kev. All right.
Oh, yeah. Let me sum up a little music to take us out. There we go. Oh, yeah. Thank you.